We're just going to head into the question and answer session. Just to reiterate what Andrew was saying about individual patient issues or indeed individual staff issues would be appropriate for a public forum. However, you can come and see somebody afterwards. Somebody from the board will get a note of the issue and we'll be able to get back to you with that. If we run out of time and we're not able to take all the questions, we will try and do that. But if we're not, then again, if you want to give us a note of your question, we'll endeavour to get back to you with a written response. So the way I'm going to do this is to take groups of three questions, and if you could say who you are and what your question is, and the mic will come to you. So if you could indicate if you want to ask a question. Okay. Right, so I've got lady here in the blue dress, I've got the lady here, and I've got the gentleman here in the pink jumper.
Hello, my name is Anne McDougall, and while I wish to applaud the board for the good work that's been done this year, I still think there are some things which need some attention. The evening clinics are set up in order to meet the waiting time targets, and I think you're doing your best to do that, but there is a difficulty with the follow-up of patients after these evening clinics, because the consultants don't have any slack to fit in other appointments for them to be followed up. And I know, I don't want to bring up personal things, but I know I personally have had to follow up, chase them to be followed up for an appointment for one of my relatives, and I know it's happening with other people, so there needs to be some sort of looking at that and getting that sorted out.
Okay, and lady here.
Hi there, my name's Jean-Anne Mitchell, and I'm probably a wee bit unusual in that I'm interested in beginning of life and end of life. But in particular, I have really grave concern over beginning of life and the care of our neonates. Neonatal babies are babies that are being looked after within the first 28 days of life. And I know that we have a major issue throughout Scotland, but in particular in Glasgow, unfortunately, whereby we have neonatal babies having been born to a particular unit, whether it be the Southern General, Princess Royal, Law, or the Paisley Hospitals. And basically, the neonatal units, whilst they are equipped to the highest level, we have the best of equipment. The one critical thing that we do not have is sufficient staff to look after these babies. And these babies are then transferred from one neonatal unit to another neonatal unit, and some of them are being transferred far from Glasgow. And I wonder how many of these really sick babies actually are reunited with their parents, because if a mother has had a section, then presumably she becomes an infection risk and may not be able to transfer along with the baby. I don't know whether that's absolute fact or not, but I would ask you that question. But I think it's a ridiculous scenario to have fantastic neonatal facilities, to have all the specialist care equipment that we require, yet the one fundamental thing that stops those units from functioning is the lack of trained staff to manage these units and manage these patients.
Thank you for your question. And the gentleman here.
Good afternoon. Thank you. This morning I received this through the mail, the health news, and I notice on page, I think it's 4, your report on infection health control. It remains a top priority to drive down health care associated infections. And further, months ahead, you're going to presumably try and get to the targets. Why is it in this day and age, is it allowed to go home as a nurse? I've seen on many occasions, nurses, in this time of infection control, why are clinical nurses permitted to travel on public transport in their uniform? This is a follow-up to the lady just talking about infection control. I did ask Nicola Sturgeon a few years ago when I was here about infection control, hand washing. When I go to Stobhill, which I do on a regular basis, there is a point where you can spray your hands, but I have watched staff coming in and out of, going out of the hospital and public, and probably one in about 30 actually wash their hands. Now, I know Stob Hill is maybe not just quite an acute hospital, but that's an example of what's happening in hospitals. When you're going in and out, I asked her, Nicola, when she was here, to put up notices, prominent notices, when people are going into a hospital, wash your hands, and on the way in and out. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, for that question. So before I hand over to Andrew, just maybe a couple of comments from myself, particularly on the second issue about neonatal services. I'm not sure if you're aware, there's a review has been was kicked off a few weeks ago because of the very issues that you're raising around transfer. And obviously, it's important to get the baby to the right place, and if that requires a transfer because the neonatal unit might be full, then under the current circumstances, that is a challenge. The staffing issue I absolutely appreciate. So the review will absolutely capture the concerns that you're raising, and you may wish to actually submit some of your own comments and concerns to that review, because it's very important that we hear from yourself, and we'll give you the link to that at the end. That'd be helpful. Sir, hand hygiene and compliance is very, very important. We do a lot of work with staff to reiterate, and patients for that matter, and the public to reiterate their the importance of these basic procedures, whether that's using hand washing about uniforms, but also around the use of hand gel when you're going in and out of wards. So we do reiterate these messages, but we'll hear perhaps a bit more about what more can be done around that. Andrew, can I hand over?
Thanks, Cabinet Secretary. There were three questions. The first one, I wonder if we might actually speak to you afterwards so that we can get a fuller picture. The second one, neonatal babies. Now, is that one that Rosalind, you can pick up? Mm-hmm. And then we'll come to hand washing HAIs with Jennifer, Director of Medicine. Ros.
Thank you. First of all, I'd just like to say that the staff that we have working in our neonatal units are absolutely excellent clinical staff, and they work extremely well as a multidisciplinary team. I think the other thing to be quite clear about is that we do have very specific guidelines for the staffing of neonatal units, whether it's medical staff or whether it's in fact nurses, and we do follow those guidelines very closely. To train to become a neonatal nurse, and I'll speak for nursing just now, is a fairly arduous process, and the nurses that we have in our unit have all gone through the relevant neonatal training. The way that we work with our neonatal units across the whole of our board is that we're very fortunate that we have the number that we have, and they work in a network basis. They don't work as individual units, they work as a total service. And that's very important because it means that we've got a level of expertise that's the same across the three units. And it also means that staff can transfer within units if that is required. And equally, it means that at times when cots are busy in one unit, we can, even though a mother's delivered in another area, transfer the baby to the safety of one of our additional units out with. And that's all about the safety for the neonate. And when it's appropriate, the mother can transfer with the baby also. I think the other thing to say to colleagues is that we don't just work from our neonatal services from a point of view of a Glasgow and Clyde alone. We actually work much wider than that, and we support the west of Scotland in the delivery of neonatal services as well, because of the level of expertise we're very, very fortunate to have in the city. The board nurse directors in the west of Scotland have been working cohesively recently, and neonatal nursing is one of the areas that we've been working on, because we do recognise the challenge within that workforce, And if we can learn from one another about how we can support the nurses as best we can, that's what we're trying to aspire to. With regards to the nurses in uniforms and travelling to and from work, I can understand your comment in that, but I do have to remind the audience that our district nurses day in, day out are travelling in uniform in and out of patients' homes from their clinics. And this question's been raised quite a lot. It gets raised quite frequently, in fact. And we have done a lot of work with our infection control staff, with our infection control doctors and our infection control nurses who are our advisors. And there's absolutely no evidence to say that it is unsafe to travel to and from work in your uniform. That said, it's sometimes how staff do travel in their uniform to work. They could make it a bit more camouflaged, and that's something that we put out a message to staff. Should you be coming in your uniform, will you please make sure you've got a jacket or a cardigan or a coat that covers it? But there's absolutely no risk to the public staff travelling in the uniform.
Jennifer.
Okay. With regard to hand hygiene, you may note that at every board meeting we report on hand hygiene rates for staff. And the way that works is we have our huge education programme for all staff, and you have to have what we call the five moments. You have to wash your hands before and after patient contact, when you touch patient surroundings or any fluids. And what we've seen is a significant rise over the past few years now, a huge cultural change in the NHS. So if you look at the board papers, you'll see 95 to 98% of staff are now compliant with that. And they also have to wash their hands in a specific way. It's not just the usual, you go to the loo, they actually have to wash them in a specific way. So we've done extremely well with that, and we've got one of the lowest infection rates across Scotland in this board. It's an interesting debate. We have had that debate about visitors coming in, and we did a pilot about 6 months ago. And what we saw was if the first visitor coming in uses the gel, then the rest of the visitors will follow. So we've been actually thinking about, as the nurse opens the door to say come into the ward, should they actually then gel their hands? The environments we have are clean, they're infection-free, but they're not sterile environments. So things like, we don't encourage visitors now to sit in patient beds. So there's a lot of work done, I think, with the NHS staff. I think we'd be hard-pushed to find people who don't wash their hands, and if they do, if we find them, then we will certainly give them a warning and we'll follow up in writing. As regards visitors, then I think we've got a way to go with them.
I'll challenge you any day to come with me to Stockholm. Any day you like.
Yeah.
We'll actually arrange that, I think, to see so we can... someone can see for themselves some of the concerns that you have. We'll make sure that happens. Can I take another set of three? I'll take lady here, and gentleman here.
Hi, I'm Mags McKenzie from the MS Society. I'd like to ask the board, in particular maybe Professor Crockett, if we could have some detail about the additional funding that was made available to the board this year from the Scottish Government for investment in specialist nurse provision. If we could know how much was allocated and also what the plan for the spend of that is, that'd be great. Thanks.